You're listening to Trope or Not to Trope, where your hosts, Kelly,
Kristen,
and Ray. Okay, cool. So, we're kicking off this season with the first of our astrology-themed mini-series. We're going to go through each of the star signs, and in honor of each one, we're going to discuss a character trait typically associated with that sign. So, just to be clear, we aren't talking about characters associated with the sign. Astrology is already, let's say, subjective in real life, and even more so in fiction. So yeah. Instead of trying to look up characters' birthdays or trying to sort fictional characters into zodiac signs based on personality, we're going to be discussing one trait in particular and looking at examples of that trait and its strengths and weaknesses as it appears in fiction.
Can I ask a question really quick? Have you guys ever given a character a birthday specifically for a star sign? Or do you just, like, assign a birthday if it works for the plot?
No, I think sometimes, I mean, it depends, but I think sometimes I actually do, depending on their personality, I do pick a star sign, not all nice. Of my characters. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh yeah, so they're born in, you know, at the end of the summer because of this.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I've ever done that. Like, I usually assign them star signs, or I assign them birthdays based on how old they need to be at what part of the plot.
Okay.
I try to do that too, basically, and then the part of my brain that knows too much about astrology is like, but that would give them this type of personality, and I'm like, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, especially when you're writing like a fantasy novel, it's like, well, star signs don't really exist exactly in this concept.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever given a fantasy character a birthday, just because I'm like, we don't know if they have the same months as we do.
Yeah,
Don't touch that.
Fantasy's a completely different beast. Uh-huh. They can have a completely different astrological system.
True. So you make up your own star sign.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Yep, totally have done that.
So, our first star sign is Virgo. Virgo is typically characterized as practical, orderly, critical, hardworking, and the trait we'll be discussing today, analytical. Also, ooh, if you want to know more about the individual star signs, we're not really going to get into that here either, but there is plenty of information about that on the internet.
Yes.
But anyway, analytical. Now, I'm already going to get confused here because one character that I know canonically has a Virgo birthday as well as having big Virgo energy is Hermione Granger from the Harry Potter series. But if I'm thinking more specifically of characters that embody being analytical, she's not the first person I'd think of. Instead, I'm thinking of like Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. So, who comes to mind for you guys?
I mean, Beth Harmon from The Queen's Gambit was the first person that came to mind.
Yeah.
I challenged myself to think of a character this past year that I've either read or seen in a fictional world. And the first thought that actually came to mind was Emily Wilde from Emily Wilde's Encyclopedia of Fairies by Heather Fawcett. Which is interesting because thinking about it longer, she is kind of similar to Sherlock Holmes in that she doesn't always understand people and like their emotions or her emotions, even though she's still feeling things and everything. She is much more drawn to data and like scientific analysis. And I know it's fairies and fairies don't exist in our world, but in her world, it's very much like, oh, well, you know, I've spent, you know, years of my life researching fairies and analyzing them and making sure I have it down in an organized form so that, you know, I can publish it and make sure people know about this. And it's just, it's really cool too, because the story, I'm sorry, I really need people to read it, but the story is, yes, the story is told in like a, almost like a diary kind of form. And there are footnotes. It like backs up her whole, I'm a scientist, I'm a researcher, and kind of also clues the reader in, includes, you know, maybe the listeners in on the fact that he's analytical.
Interesting.
Yeah. You mentioning that she's a scientist made me think that a bunch of characters from like our mad scientist episode are probably analytical. Yes.
Probably.
Also, maybe our Enneagram 5 episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I was also thinking of, you know, your Trinity of 2000s TV assholes, Bones, House, and Lightman.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, and Spock.
Yes. And Data.
Yes. Excellent. Uh-huh.
I was also thinking Hargreaves from the Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, yeah. He fits into that. Also a mad scientist, you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to come up with things from books, there's Artemis Fowl, the middle grade series. Mm-hmm. Artemis is analytical.
Yeah. Also Ender from Ender's Game.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that. I haven't read it.
Oh, it's good.
Okay. So we obviously have some examples. I maybe should have led with this, but what do we mean by being analytical?
I know that it can have many meanings, which is like why Hermione is like the right answer. But when I think analytical, like I think about a character who's able to know the right answer in any situation.
Ooh.
And like Hermione's arcs frequently revolve around her not knowing the right answer and then trying things and getting there. Which is realistic, and it's a great message for kids. But like when I hear analytical character, it's generally closer to like an almost computer-like character, you know, whose arc revolves around learning to care about other people instead of facts and not working to get the right answer. Like they have it.
That's true. Like I suppose there's some distinction between like we're talking about characters that embody being analytical, so we are expecting them to be analytical in every direction, but more realistically, if someone's analytical, they're not analytical about literally everything. They're analytical about like topics that they have an intense interest in, or they're like strategic in certain ways.
Yeah.
Rather than, I don't know, more realistically, people aren't robots, but you can probably have a character that's just, that is Spock, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I noticed as I was thinking through this that, like, a lot of really analytical characters aren't actually human because, you know, humans have emotions. So you have a couple aliens, a couple robots. Like,
yeah.
It's also interesting to me that it's very, very much a lot of them are males.
Yep.
Which I'm sure has to do with societal expectations. I'm not sure. But you can also be like socially analytical, which is fascinating to me because I can't think of an example right now off the top of my head, but I am sure that I've seen characters, also people in real life, who are just so fascinated by people and like understand them deeply. And I think that should also be mentioned because a lot of the characters that I think we were kind of giving as examples, like Emily Wilde, for example, again, doesn't always understand human beings' emotion. Like again, not even herself.
Yeah.
And, but at the same time, like analytical can mean so many different things. And just like intelligence, it can be more socially driven.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's possible. Like, with what you are saying, Kelly, that we don't typically think of those people being analytical because they're too adept at performing, being social or likable or polite. So you don't notice them being analytical. You can have it in like subtle political like intrigue kind of stories where you can have someone who's just who's very manipulative, but you don't notice at first because they come off as friendly and carefree or happy, sociable, not very conniving or strategic or cunning, because they're so good at hiding that.
Right, which is a lot easier to spot in a book if they're if you're inside their minds.
Yeah.
But in a movie, it's a lot harder.
Yeah, I feel like both Game of Thrones and the Foundation trilogy like have a bunch of super analytical characters. It's just been so long since I've read either. I can't pull any out by name. But like it's got that like political maneuvering and like manipulation.
Oh yeah, like Tyrion.
Also, Kelly, when you were talking about that, I immediately thought of Katie Heron from Mean Girls, who is like not who I would think of as an analytical character, but like she's got some good analytical skills when she infiltrates the plastics.
Yeah.
Yes. That's true. And it's true too, because, or it's interesting too, because so you have like that kind of socially analytical, but then I think you can also have the more traditional version of like this person is analytical mostly in life, and that carries over to how they interact with people. So when I think analytical person, I think someone who takes their time in making a decision. So they kind of like run through all of the decisions in their mind and kind of like
they compute an analysis. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And sometimes it's true about like social situations too, where it's like, well, this person is deeply involved in listening to the conversation. So they can be quieter. They don't always have to be performative, but they're like seeing everyone.
That's interesting to me, because I feel like I have the opposite idea of an analytical character, and like the longer someone takes to make a decision, like the less analytical I see them as, at least in fiction.
Okay.
Because like they might be analyzing, but if they're not analyzing quickly, are they good at analyzing? You know?
Okay. So I think that is a question of where the analytical character is at in their journey in a particular area. Because if you get someone who's analytical in a field that they know nothing about, it can take a while initially for them to basically learn the area that they're in, because they're trying to find and account for all of the relevant information. Whereas other people might just go forth more intuitively, so they act faster initially. However, once the analytical person studies this area, then they can move faster in the more like immediate robotic kind of way that we've been talking about, because they've already done like the cataloging of all of the relevant information.
That makes sense.
So yeah, I think what we typically see with analytical characters is there's this focus on fact and cause and effect, and it's this distinct lack of emotion around whatever the result is or what the information is, which is a little, which makes them distinct from other characters, because other characters tend to be more, I don't know, like the average character is more like emotional and opinionated maybe right away. Does that make sense?
And impulsive.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah, it's more about the data instead of this is what I feel.
Yeah. I I am fairly sure that it is incorrect, but in my brain, analytical and impulsive are two sides of a spectrum, which mm-hmm. is why Hermione does not feel analytical to me, because she's too impulsive. Like, I know it's not the correct way to think about it, but that is just how it works in my brain.
That makes sense. So we've mainly been talking about how being analytical is a strength. Mm. But, like, I think there are also costs to it. Like, another, like the other side to this coin is if someone is focused and analytical about one area, that means that they're not paying as much attention to other areas. So I would say, like, Beth Harmon in Queen's Gambit is good at chess. She has spent so much time and energy thinking about chess, playing chess. But she's not the most friendly, sociable person because she hasn't had as much interest in that. But that also means that she doesn't relate to, let's say, other girls and women her age as mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
Like, so that still has a cost because, like, those people don't like her as much. And maybe she doesn't get invited to events with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but also she doesn't seem to want to, so it's okay.
Yeah, I think that's the weakness you usually see with these characters, because it's mm-hmm. the easiest, like, flip side is that they care about facts, they don't care about people, and so uh-huh. that's where your conflicts are going to come in a lot with analytical characters.
Yeah,
but I think that part of the reason why it is so prominent is it's so interesting too to see that arc, because I'm sure this is probably the last time I'm going to talk about Emily Wilde, hopefully. I'm sorry, but like in the book she like goes to this small town in Scandinavia and Ooh. She's like researching fairies, and she's like, I'm just about to finish my book, and she's there and she has to interact with the people in this small town because the fairies are shy, quote unquote, like it's harder to find them. Yeah. Well, for other reasons too, like it's a bad thing. But while she's there, like we were talking about with analytical characters, sometimes the weakness is I don't know how to interact with people. And it gets her in trouble because she doesn't understand like societal norms. So she'll mm-hmm. insult someone and she's like, why is this person not talking to me? And the reader is like, well, I know why. And I think what's cool though is when you bring in another character and there's like a second character introduced who is the complete opposite of her, very adept at speaking, charismatic, like handsome, you know, whatever.
Ooh.
And so they like, I like too when those characters like teach each other about the other side of the coin, where it's mm-hmm. like, yes, you know, you do care about other people, and here's why. You're never going to like completely understand societal norms or whatever, but it's mm-hmm. going to make your life easier to, I don't know, accept that, you know, you actually mm-hmm. like these people. Uh-huh. Which I think is like with anything, with any kind of story or character, it is good to have like a complex view of that. Uh-huh.
I really like when characters contrast with each other like that, and they learn basically skills or perspectives from the other person because they just have such different strategies to go about life.
Yeah, and they both do this thing where it's like, all right, what would this other person do in this situation? It's so cute. I love that.
Uh-huh.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Also thinking about the point that you brought up earlier, Kelly, about how you could have an analytical character that's socially savvy because that's what they've been analyzing. And mm-hmm. I would think that the weakness that that person still has is possibly a lack of connection with people, because if they're mm-hmm. being basically strategic with their social interactions, that might mean that they can't be genuine as often because it's more about the political move they're trying to make rather than what that person wants emotionally in a moment.
So it's more about finding a solution to a puzzle rather than, oh, I get enjoyment out of this puzzle.
So that could be a very lonely, character.
I will say though, a weakness with writing that is if your character is like socially savvy and socially analytical and doesn't care about connection, then you have basically an unstoppable character.
Oh dear. That's your super villain. Just make a villain character.
Yeah, like the occasional chapter where this person is featured. It's like, wow, this person's kind of scary. I hope someone stops him or her or them or whatever.
Yeah. You always need flaws to characters. Otherwise, you end up with super powered heroes and then even more powered villains, and then it just keeps upping the stakes until it's totally unrealistic. A weakness that I would like to see more in analytical characters, I think, is them being overconfident. Because like that's an easy one to do if they think they know everything about a subject and then they're like, this is the right answer, and it's not the right answer. They're not going to be dissuaded that they're wrong.
Another one that's kind of like that is when they overthink something. Like when they're trying to like find out the code to unlock a door or something like that. And then the other character points out that the door is unlocked. Like they're spending all this time trying to figure out this puzzle. And it's like, yeah, no, just go in through the door. It's there.
It's like the scene in Princess Bride with the Iocane powder. He's like over-logicking himself.
Yes, exactly. Ooh, that's interesting. That's an interesting concept too, because even though I wouldn't always assume that an analytical character would be closed-minded, because again, they're trying to think of like all the possibilities to be correct or like solve the puzzle or whatnot. I think, yeah, there are certain situations where it's like, well, this person is overthinking so much and then like is overconfident to the degree that they believe like, well, of course I'm right. Like I've thought about this forever. And it's like, no, it's actually the simplest answer. And, you know, you're closed-minded to that because X reason here.
Yeah, taking it a little bit meta, like a really good strength of an analytical character is that they're kind of no nonsense, so they can keep a group on track and thus keep a plot on track. And like they can just keep a story moving.
But sometimes the side quests almost, I guess, where like the character that is, I don't know, adventurous or whatnot is like, yeah, let's go to this party. And analytical character's like, no, we have to complete the quest. And then charismatic, socially, you know, confident character is like, this will be good for you. And there's like some character growth there. Like it's still working, not for the plot, but for like character development. And it's fascinating to me to also see those analytical characters placed in situations where they're uncomfortable and then trying to solve the problem and not getting anywhere. Cause yeah, they don't want to be wrong or they don't, you know, they want to solve a problem and the problem can't be solved because it's emotionally based and you just got to feel, I don't know.
Yeah, they're really good for like social conflicts and like interaction conflicts.
Yeah.
They are, however, also used frequently as like get out of conflict free cards.
Oh, yeah. And the analytical person figured it out. So here we go.
And like, that's almost always done by like authors or writers who like don't really want to write a smart character, so they just have this side character that like fixes things magically and then kind of disappears for the next six chapters.
So
if you write an analytical character, they have to be analytical all the time, like not in every facet, but like they have to be a consistent character.
Although I will say that whenever analytical characters get, like, let's say, a group out of dangerous waters, now I'm thinking of Isles of the Gods, which is also really good by Amy Kaufman. But there's a character named Keegan, and he's like your, I don't know, typically he's a bookworm. He like wants to go to this library and study there and be, he just wants to be a scholar. And what's interesting about it is there are these characters, they're in like an awful situation, and he gets them out of it, but he does so in such a way that makes him kind of like do something that he doesn't want. So he's like giving something up. Hmm. Like if there's some kind of sacrifice, whether it be like physical, emotional, you know, whatever, for the sake of the group or for the sake of someone else, I think that's fine. Maybe because it's doing like double duty. I'm not sure.
I mean, that is great. I also don't have a problem with like analytical characters solving problems because that's what they're supposed to do. I right. just like need to reasonably believe that they actually solved the problem. And it's not just like the dumb characters spending, you know, half a chapter being like, oh my gosh, what do we do? And then the smart character comes in and like, we're going to do this. And then the plot moves on.
Oh yeah, that's fair. Yeah, as long as it means something.
It doesn't even have to mean something. It just has to be believable. Like meaning something is good. I just need to like know that this character is able to get them out of this problem and doesn't just show up whenever there's a problem and then disappear.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, yeah.
By the way, here's a magical elixir. Bye. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So along those lines, how do we write this trait well? And is there anything to specifically avoid when writing this trait?
I feel like analytical characters generally need to be paired with like a human character, you know, to put their smarts in perspective.
Your like, Sherlock and Watson dynamic.
Exactly. Yeah, you have Sherlock and Watson, you have Hermione and Ron, you have Spock and Kirk, Beth, and literally everyone else in that story. Like...
Definitely that. Oh, also showing the reader their process. Like, I'm not saying don't overdo it. I wouldn't like, yes, and step one is this. I mean, like, I guess you could do that depending on the story, but usually it's probably better to just say like, oh, this is my train of thought. I noticed this person take a pistol off the counter and like put it in his pocket. And it's like kind of like the old... Well, I say old, but like early 2000s Sherlock Holmes movie where it shows and also the BBC Sherlock Holmes where it like shows kind of him looking around and seeing people, seeing what he's going to do and like process it really quickly in his mind. We assume that his mind works, you know, exceptionally well and quickly. And we get to see that process. So when it's sped up, we're impressed and we're like, well, of course, because he's analyzing all of these things and then like reacting quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's important for believability too. Like as long as we see it once or twice, when we don't see it, we can still believe it.
Yeah.
I think you basically have to, you have to be able to track it / believe it. Like, I think a particular, like a pet peeve that I've mentioned in another episode of ours is when a story tries to have an eccentric mastermind analytical character, but they kind of got it wrong, basically, and made the person more eccentric than analytical, which is fine if that's the type of character that you're trying to make. Like, you can totally make someone who's, like, weird and full of themselves and thinks that they're like hot stuff and so smart, but they're actually not. I'm fine with that. But like, if the story is treating them like they're an actual genius, meanwhile, we see like no real genius, like thoughts, actions, realizations that like we can track and be like, ah, yes, that is, that character is smart. Then like, it just falls so flat. Yes. So, like, if they're actually analytical, they're analytical first and eccentric second.
Yes. I hate when a story tries to convince me of something that I don't believe.
Yep.
Like, I recently read a book and, like, the author tried so hard to convince me that this one guy had the high moral ground. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's wrong. Another thing that, like, should be obvious, but I don't know if it is that analytical characters are good at solving problems, so they need to be in a story where they're solving problems.
Oh, yeah, otherwise, yes. How do you tell that they're analytical? Like, it kind of is a non-trait and doesn't matter if it's not applied.
Exactly. Ooh. Like, if you put Sherlock in, like, a multi-generational family drama, like, it wouldn't be super compelling. Like, you could, but why have a smart character if they're not smart on the page?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I will say, this is, I feel like we've mentioned this advice before, but thinking about how to plot those kinds of stories, I feel like it's easier to, like, let's say you do have an analytical character and you wanted to plot a mystery, let's say, which would fit very well. Again, Sherlock Holmes. Working backwards, like, let's say you have a plot point where this analytical character is trying to solve, I don't know, trying to get out of a specific danger. Having that puzzle, like, you as the author have time to think about it. So working backwards, like having the solution to the problem and then working back from that so that the character sees, you know what the clues are and the character see those, helps. I don't know if I explained that correctly, but yeah. Like, basically you have time, so use it to your advantage. I don't think you always have to write in a linear fashion, which is weird because it's hard for me to write, you know, sometimes backwards or write in, like, random scenes. But again, if you have someone who's intellectual like that, or someone who is, like, picking up clues or, like, picking apart a puzzle, it'll probably be better if you work it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Also, like, it's okay to use the usual tropes for this character. Like, if you want to write an analytical character who's not good at social situations, like, that's okay. You don't have to be completely unique. And I think trying to be completely unique gets you into the situations that you were talking about, Ray, where they have this, like, smattering of other random traits, and you're like, this isn't a real person anymore.
Nope. Anyway, yeah. This character in particular, make sure that they make sense. That's kind of the basis of being analytical, is, like, their logic can be, like, convoluted, but it has to be trackable in some way.
Yes. Agreed.
Uh-huh. And that's our podcast. So, listeners, what do you think? Would you describe this podcast as analytical?
Absolutely.
Is that a good thing or not so much? Email us at totroperenottotrope@gmail.com and let us know. Good job, everybody. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another trope. Thanks for listening to Trope or Not to Trope, and happy writing!